From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen. My colleagues, Alex Chadwick and Madeline Brand, are on assignment today. They're out covering the presidential race as it roars ahead. More than two dozen states will hold primaries or caucuses in the next 3 weeks. Today, we'll spend the first part of the program focused on an issue climbing to the top of the campaign agenda.
What's happening to the economy in America, if you ask any middle-class family in America, and they will tell you they do not feel financially secure.
We said we're going to strengthen the economy. I will never accept defeat for any industry here in America. We'll fight for every job.
A lot of our big financial institutions, you know, made these bets on these subprime mortgages. They helped to create this meltdown that is happening.
That was Hillary Clinton speaking at last night's Democratic debate in Las Vegas, where the economy and the rising risk of a recession emerged as the major issue. We also heard there from Mitt Romney, who just won in the Michigan primaries last night, and where many voters say the economy is their number one concern. Just ahead, we'll hear about some of the specific plans the presidential candidates are talking about. But first, what about Americans feeling the pinch? Gerald Howard is a sales manager at the Thompson Motor Company in Blakely, Georgia. He's been at his job for 35 years.
The economy slowed down. Car sales are like anything else. Cars are too high, gas too high. Local economy is real weak.
So what do you do in a situation like that? How do you try to get people to buy cars?
Well, we just pray a lot, really. We give personal service. That's the only thing that we can offer people these days, any different from any large dealership. Every dealership's got their gimmicks, but our is personal service. I've got the same customers I've had probably from last to 20, 25 years, and that's the way we stay in business.
What are those customers saying to you when they come in?
Well, we've got farmers that they're just like anybody else. They work 12 months out of the year, and they only have a short period of making a living there. Like the past 6 months have been real dry and real bad. The economy is for them real tough. All the stuff they touch is gone sky high. Their fertilizer, fuel, everything is just tripled. And they usually buy a car every 3 years. And now they're probably every 4 to 5 years. The people in this small town, they are having a real hard time because there's not much they can do. They sit here and they try to make every penny they do stretch it out as long as they can for as a financial. But gas is killing most of the people. I got two towns, one 30 miles, one 60. And the only way they can get about a job is leave Blakely and drive 60 miles. And if they do that, this is just a losing proposition for them, because by the time they pay the gas to get there, it doesn't help them any.
Mr. Howard, you mentioned that you've been praying for a better economy. What exactly do you ask for? What do you say in your prayers?
Well, we pray for rain, we get rain. We pray for help, and we ask the good Lord to do it. I mean, that's all you can do. But you ask the government to help you. All they do is say, we're going to help these people in the big towns. That's basically what they do. We're lost all our local jobs, like the sewing plants. All that went overseas. We really just doesn't have anything that the small person or the poverty-type people to do in Blakely, Georgia. And I hate to say it, but that's what you see, all the drugs. When they can't make a living, they're going to turn to drugs. That's all there is to it. They're going to try to buy and sell. If they can't sell, they steal.
Mr. Howard, you've been doing this for 35 years, but if economic conditions continue as they are now and the price of gas doesn't get any cheaper, have you considered at all trying to move into another industry?
Well, I'm 60 years old. We in this dealership has probably cut as much as you can cut to stay here. This is one of the oldest dealerships in this area, and that's been here since 1951. If things keep going like it's going, you call. This time next year, either somebody else will be owning it or it will be closed. That's all I can say. It's that bad in this part of the country.
Gerald Howard is a sales manager for the Thompson Motor Company in Blakely, Georgia. Thank you very much, sir.
Alex, I enjoyed talking to you.
Across America, many other businesses are also hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. Bill Zollers is chief executive of YRC Worldwide. They're a global transportation service company based in Overland Park, Kansas. He has laid off 10% of his 50,000 employees, and he's parked 12% of his trucks in anticipation of a recession.
About 10% of our workforce was not working as a result of the fact that the economy was significantly weaker than we had expected it to be.
So you've made these choices and made some changes in your company. Has that been enough to keep your company on track financially?
Well, it has in the sense that we're certainly in still good financial condition, but obviously our business is very tied to the economic activity that's out there. So we haven't been nearly as profitable because the economy has been much softer.
If things get worse in the U.S., do you have any other ideas or kind of backup plans of things you could do to try to save even more?
Well, you know, you have to continue to be relentless on the cost side. But the other thing you try to do in a situation like this is focus on areas where you do have growth. And fortunately for us, outside of the U.S., particularly in Asia, where we have a fairly good presence, we're still seeing some growth there. So it's a combination of focusing on segments that are growing while you continue to be relentless on the cost side.
I also called Michael Polan. He's a financial planner in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. He told me he's doing okay, but he is seeing a lot more worry among his clients about their portfolios and their retirement savings.
It's quite interesting. When the markets start to turn downward, they do seek more professional advice. Our phones are definitely ringing more than what they were when everything was going up.
And what do people say when you pick up that phone? What are you hearing?
We hear, you know, they're scared. They don't know what the markets are doing. Should they park their money in cash? You know, what should they do, really?
And what do you tell them?
The main thing is if it all depends on when they need the money. If they need the money in the next few years for retirement, then they should, you know, scale back on the risk in their portfolio, which would decrease the volatility. Individuals need to know that the markets will go up and down, and it's really my role to take the emotion out of the investing.
Finally, we called up economic historian John Steele Gordon to give us a bit of perspective.
What it reminds me of, to some extent, is the late 80s and early 90s, when an awful lot of very badly managed savings and loan banks collapsed. And at the time, it was a huge story, and there were, you know, front page news for months. And here it is, you know, 18 years later, and most people don't even remember it. I think it's amazing that while 84% of Americans think they themselves are doing fine, 70% of Americans think the country is on the wrong track. I'm not worried about a deep recession coming on. I think if it comes on, it's going to be another, you know, like it was in 2000, 2001, or back in 90 and 91. You know, so shallow and so short that they almost went unnoticed.
The sluggish economy has clearly emerged as one of the top issues on the campaign trail. The candidates say they've got solutions. For more on those proposed solutions, we go now to Gerald Seib. He's the executive Washington editor for The Wall Street Journal. He's been keeping tabs on the candidates and their economic plans. Welcome back to Day to Day.
Hi, happy to be here.
So, Mr. Seib, it seems like we've been hearing a number of different solutions. Let's start off with the Democratic candidates. Can you give us a brief overview? Barack Obama, John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, what are they proposing?
Well, significantly, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have, in the last week or so, put out economic stimulus plans. And what these are plans that, in traditional Democratic terms, propose to take an economy that's slowing down and maybe sliding into recession and speeding it up. And they do this in similar but not exactly identical ways. Hillary Clinton wants to take $70 billion in money and pump it out into the economy as emergency funds for housing, for energy, for unemployment assistance. She would, you know, for example, provide $30 billion to provide grants to states and cities to help people who might have been foreclosed on their mortgages in the subprime crisis. Barack Obama does similar things, but he a big part of what he proposes is to essentially provide an immediate middle-class tax cut. He would do it as an immediate $250 tax cut for workers and their families, and a $250 bonus for senior citizens who get Social Security cuts. This is, again, this is classic Democratic economics. Get the federal government to, in the most direct way possible, pump more money into the economy to speed it up. It's interesting in that I don't think 6 months ago any of us would have thought that the economy would be in such bad shape that you would have candidates talking about the need for immediate stimulus, but that's where we are.
And on the Republican side, can you kind of talk us through what are the different candidates proposing?
The proposals, except for the Huckabee flat tax idea, are actually strikingly similar. They all start with the idea of making the Bush tax cuts permanent so that none of them expire in 2010 or 2011 as they would otherwise. There's a general idea that you ought to make the inheritance tax or the death tax go away permanently. And there's also a push that you see, for example, from Mitt Romney and also from Fred Thompson to reduce the taxes on savings. In other words, to eliminate the taxes on interest, dividends, and capital gains for middle-class voters. But the basic idea for all Republicans except Mike Huckabee is the Bush tax cuts are great. Let's extend them. Let's make them permanent.
And on that plan, Mike Huckabee's fair tax proposal, can you explain the basics of that?
Sure. The fair tax plan is essentially a national sales tax or a national consumption tax, and it means that you are taxed on what you spend, not what you make. The virtue of this idea is that it's simple and that it rewards good behavior, which is to say savings. If you don't spend the money, you don't get taxed on it. The problem with it is that it is seen by a lot of critics as regressive, that lower and middle-income people, because they have to spend more of what they make, end up paying a higher share of their taxes if you don't structure it right. Now, the Huckabee response is that we'll get a lot of deductions and exemptions in there, so that won't happen. The problem in the current context also is that it's not in and of itself very stimulative. It doesn't have immediate impact. It's kind of a longer-term fix for the tax system.
Mr. Seib, of all the economic ideas that have been proposed by all of the candidates, which one is the most interesting or unique to you?
Well, I do think the idea of the Huckabee idea of switching to a consumption or sales tax is interesting because it would represent a revolution in what we do in taxes and the economy in this country. It's not an evolutionary idea. It's a revolutionary idea. I do think, though, that the problem with it is that it is so revolutionary it scares people, and it's probably a leap into the unknown that's hard to sell at a time of economic anxiety. So I think its virtues are also its drawbacks, but it is the most interesting idea on the table because it would be so radical.
Gerald Seib is the executive Washington editor for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.